بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every person that comes to this earth has two types of needs. One is dunyavi and one that is connected to the akhirat. We can't rule off any one of them. We need the dunya, so do we need the akhirat. Anybody says that he doesn't need the dunya, obviously he's wrong. The dunya is like a ship. You need to cross over, get onto the next border, and you don't have a transport, you don't have a vehicle, you don't have a ship, you can't cross over. So, to facilitate this journey, you will definitely need the dunya. So if it is that important, then there must be some guideline in the hadith and the Quran Sharif about facilitating this journey. Because the Quran and the hadith is a very, very comprehensive formula. The formula, the guide, and the manual that is in the Quran and the hadith is the most perfect. You can't think of anything above this. Most perfect, most comprehensive, most complete. So if it is so important, then there must be some formula, there must be some guideline, some instruction in the Quran and hadith. This is an important part of your journey. And how do you undertake it? How do you manage it? What are the guidelines? So the Quran and the hadith gives three guidelines. إِنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. In this guideline, Allah Ta'ala is showing you what type of a mindset you need to have. The mindset is that until and unless your rozi isn't complete, you're not going to leave this world. You will have to complete your rozi before you leave this world. So it's impossible for you to leave without you completing your allotted portion. This is the amount of rice, bread, curry, meat, whatever you're going to eat, whatever portions you're going to eat, it's all destined, all worked out. The itinerary is worked out. The place and the time is worked out. The amounts are worked out. So nothing is going to be left. You're going to get it. It is a different thing that we don't have that type of reliance and that type of trust in Allah Ta'ala. But come what may, you're going to get what is destined for you. What is muqaddar for you, you're going to get it. As Ali radiallahu anhu had to go for namaz. So he had some equipment he had. Perhaps the equipment that is required on an animal, kajawa, or whatever is used on an animal, he had that, and he wanted to go and perform some namaz. So he asked one person, look after this, and I need to go for my namaz, to perform 2 rakats or 4 rakats of nafal namaz, so take care of this. So that person volunteered to take care. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu's namaz wasn't like our namaz, where in 3 minutes we wrap it up. Half minute for one rakat, another half minute for another rakat, and 1 minute to come out of the masjid. So it wasn't like our namazes. Itminan, sukoon, all the type of calmness and composure, he performed the namaz. And as he comes out of the masjid, you see the thing is not there. So he went to the marketplace, he saw the thing advertised. So what happened? How do you get this equipment of mine? He says, well, some person came and sold it to me. How much he sold it? For 5 dirhams or 10 dirhams, whatever. So Ali says, afsos ki baat hai. I had intended to give you that amount for you taking care of this equipment of mine. But this person wanted it the haram way, so he got it, but he got it the incorrect way. I had intended the one that's going to take care of this, I'll give him the same amount. Right? But he didn't want to take it the halal way, he wanted to take it the haram way, the way he's got it. So, whatever is destined is going to come. One child was at the madrasa, so the ustad had to explain this concept to him, that until you don't have your rozi at that appointed time, then you can't die. At that appointed time, you have to have it, you will have it. Time, the place, the amount, everything is worked out. And you must have it. So the child learned the sabak in the presence of the ustad, he couldn't say anything. He went home and he says to his mother, I'm not going to eat. The ustad said that what's been decreed and destined I'm going to have, but I'm not going to eat at all. I'm going to see who's going to force me. I'm going to challenge this, I'm going to work, I'm going to see who's going to force me to eat this. Now, the mother is trying to persuade the child to eat, but he won't eat. A mother is a mother, obviously, so she's trying different ways to lure the child to eat. And she thinks, well, my child likes biryani, you know. So I will really, really do it, and I will put the type of zafaran that will just choke his mind, you know. It will attract his mind, he'll want to eat, he'll be tempted. So she prepared it, and she put the spices and the coloring and the flavorant and the whatever else she needed to do, as she added that. Now the child says, no, I vowed I'm not going to eat. I want to see who's going to come and force me to eat. The mother is persuading him from 2 o'clock, you haven't eaten. Now it's 10 o'clock, 8 hours. If you're going to wait for tomorrow morning, then it's 7 o'clock. 10 hours here, and then another 7 hours, 17 hours, you're not going to eat. What's going to happen to you? So the child thinks, this mother of mine is eating my mind. She's eating my brains. Let me leave the home. He said, I must go at an isolated spot, nobody's around, I'll go there. Meanwhile, the mother was tracking him down. She saw where he went, and just near him, she left that biryani, the pot or the smell coming up. So he sees that pot is near him, but he doesn't pay any interest. Meanwhile, on that particular night, a gang of robbers thought that we need to go and attack this house. We need to go and attack this town. But obviously when the gang of robbers are going to come, they're going to take an alternate path to the town. Very discreetly, very quietly, they'll have to enter the town. So they chose to take the Kabristan route, that isolated spot where the child was sleeping. So they saw that pot of biryani and they saw a child is sleeping around, 15, 16 years of age. So they thought to themselves, perhaps there is a trick here, you know, someone is trying to poison us. They got this child here and they got the biryani. So they want to kill us. They must have added something, therefore they loaded it up with so much of zafran. They must tempt us. In the meanwhile, we'll eat this and we'll die. But nonetheless, let's we do this. If it is that they try to poison us, let's experiment this. And if there's no poison in this, then why must we let this such a tasty pot of biryani go? Some of us appreciate it. If it's poisonous, we need to experiment. If it's not poisonous, then why must it let it go? We must take the advantage, must take the benefit out of it. So they think to themselves, how do we experiment? How do we carry out the experiment? So this child, they get him up and make him eat. So the child is reluctant to eat and he says, no, I vowed not to eat. So now they felt to themselves, they felt convinced, yes, this is poison. Now they're hitting him, must eat. So eating, nothing happened. They're letting him eat about 5-6 morsels from one side, and they're watching any response, no response. Or I eat from the next side, eating from the next side, no response. From the third angle, they waited for an hour, no response. You know, now you don't eat anymore. The rest is for us now. We experimented this thing here, we'll wipe it out. Now the child comes back to the madrasa, Hazrat, I learned the sabak the hard way, that what is destined I must eat. So it can't pass me. So one is the mindset we need to have, that what is destined for you, you are going to get. But then Allah Pak has planned this world with systems. You go and follow the systems. وَأَتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا وَأَتُوا الْأَرْزَاقَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِهَا. Homes you will enter from the entrances. And rozi you will enter from, you will adopt its means. Whatever means Allah Ta'ala has created, you will adopt the means to get your rozi. Whether it's business, profession, working, whatever. But He has created systems for you to gain your rozi. So whatever systems is created for your rozi, you adopt those systems and you will gain your rozi. So the hadith says, Inna nafsan lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqa. Nobody can die until and unless his rozi is incomplete. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that in these two things, rozi and jori, sustenance and wife, right, more than your effort, it is the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala that you can see. It's working here. But you tried and you did a lot of things and you saw that it just worked out against your working, against your expectation. It just worked out. You did something and the other and the third thing. And then your rozi is just near you. The jori and the wife is also just near you. I know people from Swingo Beach, they went up to Joburg, Cape Town, to look for a jori, for a partner. And the next moment, someone from Swingo Beach is getting married to Swingo Hills. Swingo is getting married to Swingo Beach. Right. And the partner is just next door sometimes. Sometimes just around the street. You're looking around so far, and the partner is sitting just next door, in the next street she's looking for you. She's waiting for you. So more than your effort, it is the hand of taqdeer that works in these two things. Whether it is the rozi, whether it is the jori. Right. But nonetheless, in the acquisition of this rozi, what are you supposed to be doing? So, the hadith gives a three-point plan. One is fattakullah. Right? Fattakullah, to understand it very easily, very simply put, Allah is saying, take care of me. In all what you are doing, you just take care of me. Ihfazillah yahfazka. You take of me, I will take care of you. You remember me, I will remember you. When Allah Pak says, remember me and take care of me, in other words, my systems, my laws, my instructions, my prohibitions, you take care of them and I will take care of you. You don't cross the lines with me. What I have said is halal, you do that. And what I have instructed to be haram, you just avoid. And when you go and experiment in these things, yeah, then you see the problems come in. You know, the Quran Sharif has got illustrations, and with the experience I'm saying, that the illustration of the Quran is right to the day of Qiyamah. You just have to apply it. Alright, this illustration appears here. This illustration appears here. Right. The Quran Sharif has got an incident, a story about Ashabul Jannah. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَسْلِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ Surah Qalam, right? Group of youngsters, their father died. Father's habit was a good amount of the harvest he would give to the poor. Right? Father died, now they think to themselves, their father was an old man, outdated, old-fashioned, and he didn't know realities of life. Now we are all married, we've got children, responsibilities, we can't go and give, just randomly, just give out wealth like that. It doesn't grow up on trees. We have to work for it. So we can't do like our father had been practicing. Father would give a good, a reasonable amount. What he's earned, if he's earned, for example, 300,000 rand, then one-third of it approximately he's giving out. So much. See, you know, from 300 and he's giving out 100. As it is, we are three. And we're going to give out 100. What's going to be left? Each one, we can't even have 800 each for ourselves. We got wives and children, we need to run our homes. So I said, no, we can't carry on like this. Father didn't know maths, he didn't know accounting, and he didn't know projections. And now we are in this modern age. other words, old fashioned. You know, we got our takazas, we got all our needs and our urges. So anyway, they stopped it. They resolved that we're not going to give anything to the poor. لَا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. No destitute must come. We'll go at such a time of the morning that no person can come and ask for any help. And we'll wipe the whole thing out, we've got all our wealth. Now, when they come up to the farm, they see that everything, the whole farm is wiped out. That the intention of this corrupted, the farm corrupted. The intentions of this went bad, the farm went bad. The whole business went down. Now, just look at it in retrospect. One person came in, right? An old student. Old student came here. So, just to make you understand how wealthy he is now, right? Just on one property, one business of his, he's paying ₹500,000 rent. Only about 38, 37 years of age. That on one property, he's earned. Not something that he inherited from his father. He built up the business himself. And one property of his, he's paying ₹500,000 rent. Alright. He's telling me his story now. Now look, you know, we're talking about Ashabul Jannah. The story and how it pans out. So I'm explaining that the Quran Sharif is a book of illustrations. You get the concepts and then you apply it. You get the concepts and you apply it. Say, Mula, I'm coming to you now at a time of desperation. What's your need, bhai? Say, I had 2-3 businesses running. You know, Mullah was making too much of money. That's his actual words. Making too much. So much I was making. So much of money I was making, right? And when I was making all that type of money, then a third offer came to me. Right? When the third offer came, and I heard, in about 3 years' time, this thing is going to go, and what a price I'm going to get for this. So I invested all my money into it. 40, 50 million I put into this. Because I heard in three years' time, this thing is just going to go up. So I put all my 50 million I put into this. Right. And then I had to take a overdraft facility from the bank for about another 30 million. So I did that, everything was done very well. Now I am dependent on this business here that it must take up, it must go up, and it must service the bond. Right? The bond that I have taken, it must service it. And that business is not just taking on. And 5 months passed, 6 months passed, 1 year passed, and my business is just taking a dip. I can't concentrate on this business, the old business of mine, and this thing is not working out. Now I'm gone into a state of approximately declaring myself insolvent. Everything I must sell out, just to come out of the red. You see, things are working out. Look at this and look at the story of the Quran Sharif. Everything was working out very well for him. It was himself, he confesses and agrees, okay, you know, business was too good for me. At this young age, hardly any responsibilities, and working out so good. But the greed had the better over me. When the greed had the better over me, I went and bonded, right? I went and played with Allah Ta'ala, I declared war with Allah Ta'ala. And then when I declared war with Allah Ta'ala, everything went, took a dip. One, and the second, and the third. Now, I'm in such constraints that I have to declare myself insolvent. You see that? See this story here, and see this story here. When you are playing around the system of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah gives you one whoop. Get up. So the first instruction is Fattakullah. You take care of Allah Ta'ala. Remember Allah Ta'ala, He won't forget you. When He's taken care of the entire universe, then what are you? You're a small fry. When He's taken care of the entire universe, it's my child, I will take care. So you are nothing. In that equation, you are nothing. Instruction of Allah Ta'ala is Fattakullah. Fear Allah Ta'ala. In other words, you take care of me. You know, whatever you're doing, see that you don't cross the lines. Small things, big things, verbal interaction, socializing, dealing in all, whatever you are doing, but just take care of me and I will look after you. Whatever you are doing, I will take care. Though you don't worry how it's going to come and how it's going to happen, I will do it in my own time, in my own way, I will do it. But I will do it, it's my promise. So I will do it. What you need to do is just take care of me. in that business, in that dealing, in that interaction, whatever you are doing, just you take care of me and I will take care of you. That one cent that you need to return, return it. And in all your business, in your dealing, whatever you are doing, give slightly more than what you are supposed to be giving. When you say give slightly more than what you're supposed to be giving, then in every respect, the worker is giving slightly more than he's supposed to be giving. He needs to give 6 hours at work, so he's giving 6 hours and 10 minutes. So he's doing whatever has been designated, whatever he's been asked to do, he's doing that, but he's doing 10 minutes more. So if there was some shortage, somewhere he slipped or he failed to accomplish and deliver, he's covering up. He's not falling back. Because he knows that وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Allah Pak is saying destruction. Woe means destruction. Halakatho. Destruction for that person who practices the thief is fraudulent. Whether in receiving, whether in paying. He's receiving or in paying, but he's fraudulent. He wants his money complete, but when he has to give, then he's fraudulent. He's not doing as per the contract. The contract says that you come at 8 and you leave at 3. 5 and 3, 8 hours, right? Or 4 and 3, 7 hours. So the contract says you come for that 7 hours. But now he's doing his own thing. Sometimes he's coming at half past 8 and he's saying, I'll cover up that additional half an hour. That was not the contract. The contract says you come at 8 and you leave at 3. So he's not doing his own thing, not covering it up in the manner that he thinks that I'll cover up. I need to cover up, I need to do it, I need to do it like as per the contract, not as per my mind. Otherwise, you're guilty of fraud. And when you're guilty of fraud, then you will become the recipient of this verse, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, destruction. So when there's going to be destruction, there's not going to be any barakat. In the wealth you've got, you seem to be pretty comfortable with the wealth that you've got, but what's the good in that wealth? When Allah Pak's kalam is saying, that wail, destruction. So the worker is seeing that I'm delivering correctly. I'm asked to do that 6 hours or 7 hours, I'm doing it, slightly more I'm doing. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm giving more. The worker is from his side, right? And the boss from his side, the boss saying, alright, I'm supposed to be giving him 1,000 rand for the week, for example. So in place of giving 1,000 rand, I'll give 1,050 rands. I'm supposed to give him just 1,000 rand. But Allah Pak's Nabi is saying that give little more than what is demanded of you, what is expected of you, give slightly more than what you expected to give. Whether in cash, whether in whichever other form, it can be given in the cash, it can be given in some other form, but you're making sure that you're giving slightly more than what is expected of you. So one is in our contractual dealings. Then in our interaction with our friends, our wives and children as well. Sometimes the demands of the wives are very great. Do this and this and this, right? And then the moment the wife cannot deliver, right? She cannot do like your expectation. Straight away you'll quote the hadith, you know. That you know when the husband calls the wife and she doesn't respond, then she spends the night with the malaika cursing her, straight away. But where it applies to you, that the best husband is the one that is best towards his household, then you have forgotten, again, tatfif, you see that. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi says that, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ تَطْفِيفٌ. That tatfif doesn't only refer to buying and selling, to working and employing, no. This tatfif will apply to every situation. So you're supposed to give so much to your wife, you're giving slightly more. And she is supposed to be giving so much to you, and you're giving so much more than what you expected to be giving. Right? And the same will apply to akhlaq. Lama Qurtubi rahmatullahi says, the same law will apply to akhlaq as well. Now in akhlaq and in your behavior, your conduct, your mannerisms, etc. You had a situation, you had a fallout with one of your friends, right? Now in the fallout, You don't analyze it in this way. Okay, this person did this wrong and wrong and wrong to me. You don't analyze in that manner. Rather, you come onto the side of your friend and think, you know, Well, think on the side of your friend, in the defense of your friend, not in your own defense. Our style is we think in our defense, in our protection, our defense, I was right and he was wrong. Now you go on to the side of your friend and think in his defense. Think about the whole case, about the whole fallout in his defense, right? Alright, you know, he shouted me and he swore me. What he said? You're a mouse, you know, he swore me. Alright, he saw me, I feel very hurt about it. In public, he said he was a mouse, right? Now, the one way of analyzing this is, how can he call me a mouse and what he thinks of himself? He doesn't know who I am, you know, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hafizab, I'm a Mulana, and front of the whole crowd, he has disgraced me. And Allah Pak's curse will fall on him, how he disgraced me, you know. So the one way is to think in this manner in your defense. And the other way is to think in the defense of your friend. Now turn the thing around and think, you know, but I think on that day I was a little bit aggressive, you know, I was impolite towards him. And I measure my impolite behavior towards him, I think it will outweigh the swear word that he used against me. He used one word of aggression, impolite behavior, he was rude towards me. But on that occasion I remember I was much more impolite towards him. So I didn't consider the fact that I was much more impolite. Yes, I came to my defense when I saw that one word that was used against me, I went for him. But did I also check up what was the wrong in my side? How I worked with him? So Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullah says that when you want to get that character right, then you don't work in your defense. You work in the defense of the person that you had that fallout with. You had a problem with that person, now you work in his defense. That perhaps I was wrong. Yes, I didn't do this right. I didn't say that word right. I didn't approach the problem correctly. I didn't conduct myself in the right way how I was supposed to be conducting myself. I'd wronged him in this manner, I'd wronged him in that manner. So you're looking for ways of the crevice in your style, in your approach. What was the crevice? What was the weakness? What was the problem in your style, in your approach? So you see this statement of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, fi kulli shay'in tatfifun. Namaz, someone is not doing the ruku and the sajda right. Or wuzu, he's not doing the limbs correctly. So, fi kulli shay'in tatfifun. This fraudulent dealing can be applicable to any situation. It's just that a little bit of retrospect, a little bit of inspection within ourselves, that am I fraudulent or not? Then again, look at it at a much broader spectrum. Again, look at it. Allah Ta'ala is feeding us. He's taking care of us, our wives, our children, the wealth that we earn. He's taking care of everything. Everything that we can think of, he's taken care of, right? And one day, or one month, or one year, there was a dip in the business. Then we come up in arms and complaining to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, this way is very bad, very bad. Now look at your personal relationship with Allah Ta'ala. You believe, as you say, that you are a mu'min. You believe rozi comes from Allah Ta'ala, right? Don't you believe that He is providing? Now look at it from a different perspective altogether, that you enjoyed so much, what level of thanks, gratitude did you offer? Is it balancing up? You look at it, Allah Ta'ala, you know, this year you punished me because the business didn't perform according to my projections. There's no conformity with my projections, Allah Ta'ala. But did you see that was your thanks and gratitude in conformity with His command? So you see, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ تَتْفِيفٌ. This تَتْفِيف, this fraudulent dealing applies to every situation. We will just restrict it to weighing and measuring. Seeing that our balance sheets all work out very well, and we feel that تَتْفِيف and fraud only applies to that. But we don't understand that fraud applies to a whole wide spectrum of different obligations. Different obligations, different commandments. It applies across the board. Everything. And it makes me think that as you are blessed more, then there is all the reason for you to be more careful. So a little bit less. So he doesn't have so much of problems, not so much of headaches. But so much more he's got. The man that is coming to the immigrations, he just got one small little handbag. Small little handbag he's got. How will he fly through the customs? I only fly through the immigration. And you're coming with so many luggages, 50 luggages here, and you've got on Khadim to pull all your luggages. Why, those immigration people are going to check you up. And especially if you try to raise them. Or there is a little bit of a doubt on your face, you can see now. This chacha here, he doesn't seem to be very clear. So they're going to check you up. Because they train to do the job, they train to see now, hey, this person, how does he look? How is he working himself here? Can I see a suspicious look? Can I see any suspicion in him? Or they'll ask you one question, what do you got here? I think there's some money here. The moment he says, no, I think, the moment they heard the slur, they will nab you. They know, they train to do this type of work. So they're going to check you out, definitely. So the more you have got, really what reality requires of you is you have to be more concerned. I've got so much more, then I need to be even more concerned. I'm doing it right, I'm seeing to everybody right, everybody's happy with me, everybody's pleased with me. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala is assassinated, right? So he sends up Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, go and just check now who is the person that is guilty of this crime. Who's done this to me? So he says, Abu Lu'lu, a non-Muslim. So Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that Allah Pak didn't let me die at the hands of a person who claims to be a Muslim. He's rejoicing at the fact that he's public, his people are happy with him. That no Muslim had ever attempted to do this. It was a non-Muslim. See. The balance that he's got between him as a ruler and his subjects, that every subject is pleased. And this person here, out of something personal, he wants to kill Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. No fault of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. But no, he can't see. He can't see Islam rising. He can't see Islam flourishing. See, when the truth will spread itself, when it manifests itself, right? Then the falsehood will have to vanish. The snakes and the scorpions, all those things that are coming in the way, they'll have to run away. They'll have to run away. So in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Islam began to flourish. And all these scorpions and snakes and all that, now their vengeance was growing, intensifying. Now this man has come up and we can't coexist. Because of this man here, we can't coexist. The scorpion had to run away, the snakes had to run away. And those that came on the way, those that dared to come against Islam, they were eliminated. So now his anger intensified because of that. So he says, Alhamdulillah. الَّذِي لَمْ يَجْعَلْ مَوْتِي عَلَى مَنْ يَدَّعِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Not a person that was claiming to be a Muslim. My death is not at the hands of a person who claims to be a Muslim. So when Allah Ta'ala grants someone some type of authority, some type of wealth, some type of power, something addition, not only wealth, authority, power, influence, intelligence, understanding, knowledge, then that knowledge, that intelligence, that authority was not to be boastful about. I can speak, I can say this, I can say it so beautifully, I'm so much more knowledgeable. That knowledge, that understanding, that wisdom, that wealth, that authority was meant to increase and intensify your fear. That this other people don't have it, and you've been blessed with it. When you've been blessed with it, how are you conducting yourself? You've got so much more authority, so much of more wealth, so much of more understanding, so much of more wisdom you've got, then how do you conduct yourself? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is reciting Izazul Zila in his Maghrib Salah, or after Isha is reciting Izazul Zila. One person had some work with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, so he waited for Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He just started with the surah Izazul Zila. This person is waiting. Imam Sahib doesn't know a thing that anybody is waiting for him. And that whole night came out in him reciting the surah Iza Zul Zilat. He couldn't go past that one verse. He got struck with such fear. Iza Zul Zilatil Ardu Zil Zalaha. When the earth will be shaken to its depths. So that thing shook him to such a depth, it shook him that he couldn't go past that one ayat. You see, when he's got that mountain, that ocean of knowledge, then that knowledge is bringing that amount of fear, that amount of concern. So it wasn't a thing to be boastful. It wasn't a thing to be proud. It wasn't a thing to be making loopholes and strategies. No. As that knowledge and understanding is increasing, proportionately your concern, your fikr, your worry, that I'm going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. Allah is going to ask me that you had such a great understanding, you had knowledge, you knew about me, then why did you go and conduct yourself in this manner? Al-Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that people on the day of Qiyamah will be questioned according to the level of the understanding. According to the levels of the understanding. And he quotes the hadith in the Bani Israel, one person made a bequest to his children, you know, by I was such a big gunegar, I don't think there was a gunegar as great as myself. So if I die, then you must cremate me. Cremate me. And then when you must wait for a very windy day, and on that windy day you must scatter all my ash, must just scatter it over. Because if Allah Ta'ala only gets me, He's going to punish me, the way He's going to punish me, He's going to set an example. Anyway, the loyal, faithful, obedient children, they did as the father commanded. They went and cremated him. In a moment, Allah Ta'ala instructed all that to be reassembled, caught him up. Why did you do this? Allah Ta'ala, I did it only on account of your fear. Go, I have forgiven you, go Jannah. Now if you look at this hadith, you go and inspect and analyze the hadith, what did he say? It is saying that this person had rejected the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. That he feels that Allah Ta'ala doesn't have the power and ability to reassemble him. But Allah Ta'ala looked at him in a different way. Okay, what was the catalyst? The catalyst was the fear. His fear was at that level. And he couldn't come up to terms with that fear. He said, do this to me. So Allah Ta'ala looked at him favorably because of this. Though his understanding was deficient. His understanding wasn't right. His understanding was deficient. But it was the fear of Allah Ta'ala that prompted him to do this. So the person that has been blessed with knowledge, with understanding, with wisdom, with any other skill that he is more than the normal person, is not an occasion to be boastful, not an occasion to be proud, not an occasion to feel that I'm above the rest. No. It's an occasion not to be feeling more afraid. Spoke of something and then the way that concern is overcoming, overwhelming you. It's one ayat and what is done to this person here, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. One verse, all of us understand it. The one that is doing a little bit of Arabic, he understands the meaning. The mountains or the earth is shaken to its depths. So this is the first leg in the acquisition of your temporary needs. Temporary needs, dunya needs. Right? You take care of Allah Ta'ala. The second thing, what is required? وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. You have to acquire, it's a transport, it's a journey that you have to undertake. You need a vehicle to undertake this journey. Right? That is what we call dunya. What is dunya? Is that vehicle that you need. You need to board that vehicle that will take you to the next shore. Right? From this world to the next world. So you need that transport. You need that vehicle. Now, the hadith is telling you, alright, in adopting that vehicle, then what type of vehicle you should be taking? We need some mode of transport. We need a vehicle to take you across. Then what is the mode of transport that you need to take you across? For the second point, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. And in your effort, then be a little bit brief. In our simple words, I say, be slightly less than moderation. Not exaggeration. And not moderation, but slightly less than moderation. Your motor car has got the capacity to take you up to 250 kilometers an hour, right? Approximate 250 kilometers. Half of 250 will be approximately 120, right? 120 is moderate. Now, you don't drive at 120, you drive at 100. When the race for acquisition of wealth, you can see, the maximum is 250, so you're not going to go at 250. And you're not going to go at moderation. Moderation is 120. So you'll go slightly less than moderation, go about 100, it's alright. In fact, a little bit less than 100 is also better. Because it'll be more in conformity, would be brief about your effort. Your effort to acquire, be brief. Don't exaggerate, don't go and overdo yourself. Again, if you want to overdo it, again you are guilty of the thief. You are guilty of fraud if you are overdoing it. Because in overdoing it, you have to neglect someone. You have to neglect your wife, you have to neglect your children. When you are overdoing this, then you have to neglect someone's right you're going to neglect. If your business and rosy is a duty, then your wife and children are also your duty. If Allah asked you to acquire wealth, He also, that same Allah Ta'ala commanded that you take care, good care of your wife and children. Not only providing them with rosy, but to see to the deeni welfare was also your duty. So you looked at it only from one perspective, you only did one thing. You didn't pay the full. Again you are guilty of fraud, you see that. The thief. So that is the second point. One is, fattakullah, take care of Allah Ta'ala. The second point is, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. That be brief in your acquisition, in your effort for rosy, then be brief. Don't overdo it. What is yours, you must get. There's no such a thing like, what is yours, someone will take away. No. That is all our Indian thing. You know, I'm going to show them all my business and all my references, right? Then they'll steal away my business. That is Indian thinking, right? So, أَجْمِلُ فِي الطَّلَبِ. Whatever is yours, you're going to get it. You show other people your recipes, but still you'll get the business. Because the guess is they can't get it right. In spite of them giving them your recipes and doing it before them, but to get that right final taste, you know, that touch, they can't get that touch. So you'll still get your rosy. In spite of you giving your recipes to everybody, but you will still get it. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُ فِي الطَّلَبِ. Now, we are human, right? When we are human, we will think, I'm going a little bit less than moderation. So what's going to happen to me? To my business? Kya hoga? Will I make it? Or won't I make it? What's going to happen? So Allah Ta'ala says, to compensate for this loss, what you do? وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. You assign your affair to me. You assign your affair to me, I will take care. And assigning your affair to me is like this. You know, you had some wires to connect, right? So, you know, it's a very reputable electrician. Very, very, he gets 100% all the time. So you tell him, I got this problem. Just leave it to me, I'll fix it up. Because you know, it's a small thing. He has a plug, chain, corrects, one, two wires and all that. He'll get it right. In minutes, he'll get it right. Right? So when he says, I'll be there. In the next 5 minutes, I'll be there. And he's reputable. Never, ever did you find him betraying you or disappointing you. And never ever did you ever hear that he failed in any work that he was doing. So what type of sukoon and what type of comfort do you get when he is told, boss, leave it to me, I will sort it out. I'll be there in the next 5 minutes. Don't you have that sukoon? Don't you have that itminan? Don't you have that comfort of the mind? So Allah Pak is saying, Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib, La ilaha illahu, fattakhidhu wakila. I am taking care of the whole world, I'm taking care of. East and the West, everything I'm taking care of. Whether it's the sun or the moon, whether it's an ant or it's an elephant or it's a whale that is 500 meters long. I'm taking care. I'm providing it with all its sustenance. Ton, every day I'm giving it 1 ton of food. Who's providing? I'm doing it. So what are you? You're a small fry. I'll give it to you. Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib, La ilaha illahu, fattakhidhu wakila. Why don't you leave it to me? Allah Pak, you sure you'll make it happen? What do you think, Allah Pak, but you sure you'll make it happen? That's our attitude to Allah Ta'ala. And He's saying, I'll make it happen. By have your itminan, I will make it happen. And our response. Now, how Allah Ta'ala must be taking this? You did everything else, you've got the trust and the reliance, the confidence in everything else, but me, when I told you that I'm taking care of everything, did you have that level of reliance on me? The 3-point plan in the acquiring of rosy. So I explained that we have our dunya needs and it's a reality. We cannot bypass that reality, that it's not a reality. It's a reality, it's a genuine thing. Right? Like we have our dunya needs, then we have our akhirat needs as well. We have a plan for the dunya, then we have a plan for the akhirat as well. Right? Just that some plans of the akhirat, are short-termed and some are long-term, right? So for the long-term and the short-term, the plans for the akhirat, we need to prepare ourselves for both those terms. Whether it's a short-term, whether it's a long-term, but we need to keep ourselves in the state of preparation. Right? A monthly test in a school is a short-term, right? And the year-end test is a long-term. So these both tests are going to take place in any school, right? Monthly test or a weekly test, the teacher will give you an assignment. You go and complete this assignment, come weekly test. Right? And then you'll get a yearly test. So that is a major test. And like it is important for you to work for the final exam, then it's also important for you to work for that weekly test of yours, the weekly assignment. To work for that is also important, because that will accumulate and it will see you, it will show you through right in the end. So both are important. But how do you work, how do you manage the weekly, the short term, and how do you manage the long term? In the short term things, for example, it is namaz, right? It's a short term. Why I say it's a short term? Because all the time during the day, you've got one namaz, followed by another namaz, followed by another namaz. So how do you manage this? This obligation of Allah Ta'ala, how do you manage it? And when Allah Pak wants you to manage it, He wants you to manage it nicely, beautifully. Don't come and just dump your namaz and go away. No. I don't deserve that. Allah Pak is saying, I don't deserve that. You want to dump that on me and then you want to go away, then I can dump that at you also. I can dump that as a, like a dirty, I can dump it at you. So you want to give it to me, but give it to me nicely. Give it to me gently. Give it to me with beauty. Give it to me like I will be happy. Just to digress a little bit, you know, when the Quran Sharif speaks about service towards parents, right? It doesn't only say, just serve them. It says, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, be good towards them. In other words, be please them. What? That is why the wording of the hadith is رِضَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Not just serving, but pleasing them. So one is to serve, and one is to please. Two different things, chalk and cheese. Now, how do you understand serving, and how do you understand pleasing? Just think of your wife and you will understand this thing very well. But we don't think about the wife, we think only about, well, my father, I'm looking after him, I'm paying his rent and all that, it's alright. That's how we look. But if you think of your wife, you will think about things differently. Totally different. Right? Now, just imagine you're going for Umrah, right? Just trying to explain this concept about pleasing, right? And until we don't illustrate this thing here, you're not going to get it. Our minds have become very dense, unfortunately. Too much of dunya. So the mind has become very dense, right? So just imagine you're going for Umrah and you come and meet your father like it is routine, like you're going, so you go and meet your father. Abba, must I get anything for you? Yeah, just give me one kurta, you know, that's all. So one is that child will go to the dafa shop and he'll buy one kurta and give it to the father. Abba, you wanted the kurta, you know, I got it for you, I'll take it. And the other child, when he heard that his father wants the kurta, so he'll buy about 3 dozen kurtas and he'll bring it, and he knows his father is in Jamaat also, he'll get one topi to match each kurta and a turban also to match every kurta of his. And with all that, he'll bring one abaya, you know, that big jubba you wear on Eid day. He'll wear about three or four jubbas and he'll bring it. Or 2-3 dozen of kurtas, 3 abayas or 3 jubbas and all topis to match the occasion or match the kurta and the turban to match everything. And then he said, Abba, you know what? On each day you must wear this kurta here. And Bakri day you must wear this one here. And Abba, you know you're going to give bayan everywhere. You can't wear the same kurta. Every week you're going to rotate. This work, first week you'll wear this kurta here. Second week you'll wear this kurta. Third week you'll wear this kurta. And Abba, this turban here you're going to wear with this topi or with this kurta. Now I ask you, who is serving and who is pleasing? One is serving and the other one is pleasing. Child here, I can't just get over him. I can't just get over him. And when you're going to be thinking like that, that father is going to make dua and say, Allah Pak, bless my child. Whatever it is, Allah Pak, bless my child. See how much he thought for me. How much he thinks of me. See, the thinking, serving is something else, and pleasing is something else. So that namaz that we're doing, we don't just dump it on Allah and go away. No, I'm going to do this. It's an occasion, it's an opportunity. Allah Pak has called me now. What do I do? How must I do it? I must do it very well. From the toilet to the wuzu, to the namaz, to the postures, to the time that I come in. So one easy method is coming to my mind in preparation for our regular obligations, like namaz, for example. Right? We are in our shops, in our businesses, wherever we are. So we're preparing for the namaz 1.5 hour before namaz time. Like in Durban and surrounding, right? Or say old KwaZulu Natal, perhaps all of South Africa. Our Zohar namaz goes around 1 o'clock, right? To cover the weekends and long weekends and all that, say 12:30. 12:30 to 1:30. That's the approximate time for Zohar. Right? So I'll prepare for my Zohar at 1.5 hour before the time. So say around 11:30, right throughout the year I'll prepare for my Zohar at 11:30. How I'll prepare? I'll do the toilet, I will do everything. So I got no doubts, Pisap is coming out, whatever, no doubts I got. And then, at least around the time, I'm not going to keep on munching chips and chocolates and sweets and monkey nuts and whatever. Because I'm going to munch all these things here, then it will build up gas. And then I need to release all these things here. And then my namaz is going to get affected. So I'll just keep away from these things here, so that I can read my namaz also. I can read it nicely, comfortably, with a focus. And I'm munching all the time, munching all the time. Then that thing needs to release. It's going to build up pressure. When it's building up pressure, it needs to release somewhere. I my namaz, but my mind is in the toilet. Does Allah Ta'ala deserve that type of treatment? Does He deserve that treatment? Just imagine now. Not a good example I'm giving, but I can't think of a better example. Imagine you are intimate, right, the family, and then you are releasing air at that time. Does she deserve that time? Namaz, you are intimate with Allah Ta'ala, and at that time now you are exploding this side, exploding from the front, back, all sides, exploding. Does Allah Ta'ala deserve that treatment? So you got all your wuzu under control, you're focusing nicely towards namaz, your attention, your focus, your concentration is there. So Allah Pak says, hey, this man here, 1.5 hour before the namaz, and see the level of preparation he's got for you. See how much he thinks of me. Won't Allah Pak love you? So one is serving and one is pleasing. Serving is a different thing and pleasing is a different thing. With Allah Ta'ala, it's not just a matter of service, it's a matter of pleasing. How can you please Allah Pak? What he's done for me, and then how do I please him? How do I go about doing it? Just a little bit of adjustment of our habits and all that. Adjustment of the routine, you got it right. You see now it's about 11:30, I go to the toilet, make my wuzu, all that. Everything cleared up. Now I'm just waiting. So, when the namaz time came, say at least about 15 minutes, 20 minutes before the time you are in the masjid. Before the namaz can start, you're in the masjid. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Now, you're in such a good, nice frame of mind. And make zikr. And when you coming in for Allah Ta'ala, then let that time be dedicated to Allah Ta'ala. Then not how you and what are you doing, going to meet that friend. By that time was not for socializing. The masjid, inside the masjid, you don't socialize. You can do that afterwards. Now you've given this time to Allah Ta'ala, so give it to Him with dedication, with focus. Take one corner, grab one corner in the masjid. You're not disturbing anybody, nobody is disturbing you. You're taking out a tasbih, you got a Quran Sharif, something to enhance your spirit, to increase your spirit to Allah Ta'ala. Won't Allah Ta'ala be pleased? A little bit of slight adjustment. How much Allah Ta'ala won't be pleased? Because this person here, he works, and he's thinking of me 1.5 hour before the scheduled time. He's coming on time. He's got his namaz, he's got his tasbihat, he's got his zikr. Now, will there be any reason that I don't have the concentration in my namaz? When you build yourself up, then the concentration will obviously be there. Making a little bit of istighfar, a little bit of tasbih, a little bit of Quran Sharif. Everything you are doing just to enhance your focus and your concentration in executing this obligation. So one is the short term preparation. And one is the long term preparation. Right? Namaz also is not only in some respects it's a short term, in some respects it's a long term. Because one namaz, you can't repeat that one namaz. That asr namaz, can you do it for the second time? It's just one opportunity. One opportunity, I don't give you a second chance to perform that namaz. One namaz, and that's it. One and last. So it's just one until you die, until the day of Qiyamah, just one namaz at that time. I will not give you that opportunity to repeat this. So with this frame of mind, I won't get a second chance to repeat this, to correct this and improve this. Then what type of quality will go in that namaz? When I know, hey, just once. And I can't do it again. You know, people are doing the first timers of Hajj. And what concentration is just one obligation in a lifetime. I can't do it again. So what level of concentration they have? The same level of concentration is just once. And I'll never get this opportunity until I die. So what level of concentration do I need to have for that namaz? So that's the short term. Now again you get the long term preparation. Short term preparation and long term preparation. See, in work, that person's preparation is notable. That person's preparation is acceptable, it's notable, it's worthy of praise, who is focused, right? He's in a football game, right? But he's focused towards the goals. You appreciate, you love him, you respect him. But he's in a football game and he's more worried about boasting about the jersey. See, my team's jersey, Liverpool, see that? See this? He's worried about that, showing the logo, or showing the jersey, or showing his techies. Eh? Right. He's more concerned about that than the game and the goal. What do you say? But he lost the plot. Won't you say that? He doesn't know what his preparation. I must prepare for the goal. And he's worried about showing off his techies. He's worried about showing his jersey. What will you say? He lost the goal. So the long term is the qabr. The long term is the akhirat. What level of preparation, what quality of preparation is going in that? That is why the hadith says that the most intelligent person, أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمُوتِ, who is most in the state of preparation, you prepared for that time, that moment, which is unpredictable. Allah Akbar.